Thanks for coming back each month to listen to Makeshift Stories. You can help us out by writing a review on your favorite podcast service, such as Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Radio. Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable. Trick or treat. Give me something good or misfortune may come to your home tonight. According to Wikipedia, the Halloween custom may date back to the 16th century or even before, and may have originated in the belief that the souls of the dead roam the earth and need to be appeased. Today, it may just be another date in the consumer shopping calendar, or not. Itsumi Gatu has been working for 20 years cleaning up after extraterrestrial experiments. When one goes wrong on Halloween, causing hours of unwanted overtime, she starts to consider her options. But the only way to get home early that night is to take matters into her own hands, which leads to unexpected results. We invite you now to sit back and relax as you listen to Makeshift Stories 128, Trick or Treat. Somewhere in some time, there may be more than lost souls wandering the earth.
Thank you, Miss Grover. Excuse me, please.
Itsumi Gatu turned away from the woman at the door and coughed into her sleeve.
You should really get that cough checked out,
Miss Grover commented, taking one step back into her house.
I'll be fine. Just an allergy acting up. Now, if you wouldn't mind, please, place your thumb on the screen just beside your photo to acknowledge that your statement is true as far as you know. That's it. Perfect. Thanks again for your cooperation. We really appreciate your help in this matter. Your story is critically important to our efforts to keep this community safe.
Itsumi tried not to flinch as she repeated the tired scripted lines. After decades, her delivery had lost its passion.
If you can just spare a couple more seconds of your valuable time, Miss Grover, I'd like you to focus on the center of the screen of my tablet. That's right. Now tell me what you see.
Ah, there's beautiful, beautiful clouds. They're so peaceful.
You feel relaxed, Miss Grover, and satisfied. You are so peaceful that you'll completely forget this conversation and the event which occurred in your neighbor's swimming pool. You've had a wonderful day. Lots of kids in Halloween costumes coming to your door this evening. It's the best night ever. You're so relaxed and calm. When you hear a door close, you will awake and go back to watching that movie you were streaming. Thank you, and have a great evening.
Itsumi Gatu smiled sardonically, grabbed the tablet back from her somnambulist target, and slammed the door in Miss Grover's face. That was the most satisfying part of the job. Years ago, she had made the door slam the trigger point, and there was nothing more rewarding than slamming a door at the end of yet another annoying house call, and especially so on a hard day like today. Itsumi walked quickly down the driveway, saving the file, then turned back up the street to where she had parked. She was in a dark mood. Halloween. Why did it have to be on Halloween? Why did the Gelada Pisces decide to conduct an experiment on a day where everyone was at home or out on the street? They knew the overtime costs involved. Maybe they had finally decided to pay the world back for their name, which was Latin for jellyfish, and had done this out of spite. Speculation around the office was they had used an early version of Google Translate before announcing who they were to the world, but the name had stuck. They were anything but jelly or fish-like. In fact, they were not even fully organic. However, they had been on Earth for almost 20 years and had single-handedly created the need for the entire service sector that employed Itsumi. The Alien Services Unit, Inc., or ASU, it was a horrible acronym, sounded like a sneeze, was the largest company in the field. Itsumi had been there from the start, However, tonight she should be home with her grandkids, getting them into their Halloween costumes. Instead, she was here in a wealthy gated community, covering up the fact that a gelada test had gone wrong, yet again, when a giant semi-organic earthworm had erupted from the bottom of a swimming pool and slithered through 5 backyards before emerging on a side street where it ate an SUV, then burrowed through the asphalt road and disappeared back into the ground. Yes, they had an agreement with the extraterrestrials. The Earth could be used as a field testing station, and in return, the gelada would not enslave the global population. Everyone knew the agreement hadn't really been negotiated by the company's founders, as the senior executives insisted at every chance. This alternate interpretation of events was part of ASU's new brand story. The senior team were just observers at the table when the deal was simply imposed. Anyone who had been in the business long enough knew that. Her cell phone vibrated. Itsumi knew what that meant and chose to ignore it. She had already made 12 calls since noon. When was this going to end? It was already 5:45 p.m. She had taken the 6 a.m. shift specifically so her day would end at 2, so she could get in a round of golf or help her daughter with the kids. Also, for some unknown reason, the gelada tended to schedule their tests from late afternoon on. At nearly 60, she felt that she had worked hard enough, and now it was time for the younger recruits to carry the load. They and the new management appeared to be on the same page anyway. Both seemed to live for the team-building exercises at the now mandatory quarterly company retreats. Itsumi didn't understand how trying to walk blindfolded along a rope on the floor while the other people in the office, who couldn't be bothered giving you the time of day before and after the retreat, tried to help you keep your balance. Maybe she was just getting too jaded. But it had been her healthy level of skepticism and independence that had made her such a great first responder back in the day. In the first years of operation, when there had only been a handful of agents, they had worked weeks on end without time off. Back then, procedure had been ignored for expediency. At least she'd get overtime today. But why hadn't head office called in more staff? Her phone buzzed impatiently again. Itsumi finally gave in, stopped, and read the text from HQ. They had just ID'd another cleanup, and she was the closest housekeeper. Itsumi wheezed as she picked up the pace. Her lungs had been compromised and weren't getting any better. Today, first responders had hazmat suits and filter masks. In her day, they had bare hands and held their breath. When the lung disease first appeared, the company had transferred her to housekeeping, but ASU denied any connection between her illness and the alien gunk she had been exposed to over the years. A group of 11 and 12-year-old superheroes, accompanied by an orc, Dranai, and a couple of other game characters she didn't recognize, pushed past her, forcing Itsumi off the sidewalk onto a lawn with a prominent "Keep Off the Grass" sign.
"Hey!"
she shouted after them. For a moment, she considered chasing after the kids to give them a post-hypnotic suggestion about the taste of their candy, payback for being so rude. But she knew it would hurt to catch up, and besides, she needed to finish the next house call so she could get home.
"Halloween, why on Halloween?"
she cursed again under her breath, stepped back onto the sidewalk and pulled up the map app on her tablet. There was one red pin indicating where housekeeping was required. 8 others were yellow, indicating that other agents were in the process of responding. HQ had finally called in a few extra off-shift people. She knew finance was going to rake the dispatcher on duty over the coals for the added cleanup costs, but good for them, she thought. Governments had gotten used to the presence of the extraterrestrials and, in their wisdom, had been cutting back their containment and cleanup budgets so they could lower taxes and gain votes. This mess, however, still needed a lot of cleaning. The authorities would refuse to pay the extra cost, of course, and as usual, the company would threaten to reveal everything they knew. After a few rounds of threats and ultimatums, the government would eventually grudgingly pay. Itsumi didn't understand why the gelada weren't being backcharged every time they did something which required measures well beyond normal containment and cleanup. However, there was a rumor that the government of a well-known northern nation had tried that after the extraterrestrials had accidentally melted all the ice on a major lake in the dead of winter. The cost of the cover-up was legendary, adding a new zero to that country's national debt. Soon after sending a request for compensation, a flurry of embarrassing online posts mysteriously appeared, which exposed the dirty laundry of almost every federal politician. After that, no government had been willing to pass extra costs along. Itsumi looked at the map again. The pin was in the next cul-de-sac. She considered walking, but her lungs were bothering her, so she slowly moved back to her ride, a police black and white. It was their cover for this cleanup. At 42 Mountain Meadow Close, a Mr. Martin had called in. That made it easier, as the resident would be expecting someone. There were no mountains, of course, or a meadow, on Mountain Meadow Close. There was, however, a small treeless island in the center of the cul-de-sac, with a few struggling shrubs. Itsumi couldn't find a spot near the complainant's property. Someone had obviously decided to throw a Halloween party, which made parking impossible. So she decided to double park, blocking the neighbor's driveway. She could make out annoyed expressions through the slightly parted drapes in the front windows. They wouldn't say anything to her because it was a police car, but she knew they would be calling the city to complain as soon as she was gone. No decorations, Itsumi noted. Figures, their lights were out as well. The effect intended to say, "Don't come here." On the other hand, the Martin's house was fully decked out, ironically in an alien theme. Smoke machines periodically belched out white clouds, which in the still evening air hung close to the ground, around a handmade styrofoam flying saucer, which looked like it had crashed. If only people knew how wrong that idea of a UFO really was, she thought. The Gelada had laughed when they first saw the popular culture icon. In fact, to amuse themselves once, they had shown up in Roswell in a fake flying saucer which landed on Main Street outside the extraterrestrial gift shop, and proceeded to buy up the store's entire stock. To minimize cleanup costs, ASU had played it as a stunt paid for by a nouveau riche tech exec. But no one at ASU or the government laughed about the incident. It threw in their face how little control they had over the Gelatins, who it was rumored made a tidy profit on the Roswell merch on their home planet. Three kids pushed past Itsumi as she got out of the cruiser, running up the sidewalk to the front door, yelling,
"Trick or treat!"
The door slowly opened, revealing Mr. Martin in a zombie astronaut costume. They screamed, jumped back a step, then laughed. Satisfied, Mr. Martin suddenly broke into a smile and reached out, dropping candies into the kids' waiting bags.
"That was great,"
the kid in a store-bought Batman costume said, then turned and almost ran into Itsumi. This time, she decided not to get out of the way. Played chicken and won, forcing the gaggle of kids to veer off the sidewalk and race across the neighbor's lawn.
"Get off my grass!"
the neighbor yelled from a crack in one of the darkened windows. Seeing a gap in the streams of costumed kids and trailing parents, Itsumi approached the front door and knocked.
"Mr. Martin, it's the police. I'm responding to your call."
After a few muffled sounds, the door swung open, revealing an obviously agitated face peering out through thick zombie makeup.
"It's about time,"
Mr. Martin accused, looking judgmentally at Itsumi.
"And now you're all they can manage to send?"
"Sir,"
Itsumi tried to take back control of the conversation.
"I'm responding to the complaint you phoned in, and I've been with the force for 20 years. I am fully capable of—
"Removing the thing that is eating my tool shed? Shouldn't you be doing a desk job or something at your age?"
Ignoring the slight, Itsumi pushed her way into the house, forcing Mr. Martin to back up. She immediately closed the door and turned off the outside lights.
"Sir, I can assure you that I am more than capable."
Angered, she spat the words out.
"Now explain what's happened here and be quick. I don't have all night."
Mr. Martin didn't look convinced that Itsumi could handle the situation. But realizing that he was not going to get anyone else until he played along, he pointed to the back window.
"Like I told the operator, there was a giant worm thing that broke through my fence from the neighbors. They never cleaned up back there and have a huge compost pile. It stinks when the wind blows in the wrong direction. I've been complaining to the city for years, but no one has done anything about it, and now you have this giant mutant worm. That's what you get from inaction, giant smelly problems. You're too late for the big one. It left through the other fence 20 minutes ago, but it left its rotten spawn behind, a smaller one, and it stayed. Like I said, it's eating my tool shed right now. Although I said small, it's still 8 feet long and maybe four around, and some semi-retired cop ain't gonna be able to budge it."
Did you say it's here right now?
Take a look out the window for yourself. Itsumi jogged to the back window, coughing from the sudden effort, and stared out. Sure enough, a baby experimental worm was trying to wrap itself around a metal tool shed. The door and part of the roof had been gnawed off. Who's going to pay for that? And the fence? Mr. Martin was getting worked up.
It budded. I've never seen that.
Itsumi accidentally blurted out, then trailed off.
Before?
She outwardly calmed herself, but was angry and fed up. Who was the dispatcher on tonight? She tried to remember. This was an active scene needing first responders, not a house cleaner. Yes, she had been a first responder once. But Mr. Martin was partly right. She wasn't up to this kind of stuff anymore. Watching the bud take another bite out of the shed, she pulled out her phone and touched the on button. It buzzed back at her with the words, "Fingerprint not recognized." Itsumi realized that as per regulation, she had donned her gloves before entering the home. Leave only the air behind, and even that must be scrubbed. It was part of the ASU house cleaners' mission statement, which management had drilled into their heads at the quarterly retreats. She pulled off her right glove and tried again, managing to thumb the phone on.
Dispatch.
The voice was too relaxed for Itsumi's liking.
Dispatch, this is Agent Gatu at 42 Mountain Meadow Close. This is a code black, not a code red. What were you thinking of? We've got an active experiment here.
Mr. Martin looked from the window to Itsumi, getting visibly impatient. I told him there was a thing in my backyard. I'm going to call my alderman.
Mr. Martin, please.
Itsumi motioned for the man to shut up so she could hear.
Agent Gatu?
The dispatcher calmly replied.
How large is it?
The voice was familiar. Then she remembered. The last retreat, where they had to walk a line blindfolded. The voice on the other end was the new hire who had shone in the team-building exercises and had been singled out by management as an example to follow. Except at the end of the blindfold walk, Itsumi was the last and most reluctant person. She was not acting like a team player, the facilitator had said. Tired of waiting for her to finish, the new hire had walked away to get at the head of the line for the next exercise, leaving Itsumi behind, unguided, to walk into a wall.
It's you, isn't it?
She cursed, a little too loud.
What did you say?
The dispatcher asked.
That you sent the wrong code. This is an active scene. You need to send a first responder unit.
I called it correctly. The situation must have changed, Agent Gatu. I have it listed here as a code red, a cleanup.
It didn't change. You just didn't listen, did you?
Itsumi accused, glancing at Mr. Martin, who nodded in support. I clearly told him one went through and left a smaller one that started eating my tool shed.
Did you hear that, dispatch?
That's not what I have here, Agent Gatu. The unexpected experimental event, or UEE, left the scene, so it's clearly a matter for housekeeping.
The sound of groaning metal suddenly emanated from the backyard.
Hear that? Look for yourself.
Itsumi pointed the phone's camera out the back window where the tool shed was now a collapsed worm-infested heap.
See?
She yelled into the phone.
The situation must have changed,
the dispatcher insisted stubbornly.
Or the caller's description was obviously not accurate. I don't make mistakes.
Mr. Martin shook his head. I was perfectly clear.
We need first responders now, you idiot.
Itsumi demanded in her best, I'm getting fed up with your attitude voice. But it didn't have the desired effect.
Mind your temper, Agent Gatu. It's not good for the medical condition listed in your file. Now let me check the roster.
You're not the police, are you? Mr. Martin accused.
Mr. Martin, please, we'll talk later. Right now we have an active situation that needs to be dealt with. There's more than your tool shed at stake here.
Itsumi waited for what seemed like 15 minutes on hold. The obstinate controller finally came back on.
We seem to have several code reds that have become black. How big would you say the bud is?
I don't know, 6 to 8 feet.
10, and it's growing, Mr. Martin added with concern over Itsumi's shoulder. Itsumi heard keys clacking on the other end of the phone.
It's the smallest of the lot. That means it goes in the queue. It'll take them 90 minutes to get there. I'm authorizing you, Agent Gotu, to use Plan C to secure the site. Good luck and have a great evening.
The controller hung up. Plan C involved putting the witnesses into a hypnotic sleep, then making sure no one else accessed the site. Itsumi glanced at her watch. 90 minutes meant that the first responders wouldn't be there until 8 p.m. Another hour or so for housekeeping, then paperwork. She wouldn't be home until midnight. Itsumi sighed and felt more tired than she had ever been in her life. Maybe it was time to get out of the business, retire, play golf, and spend the winters on cruises. However, since ASU cut the pension plan and her investments had been a victim of the most recent financial crisis, she couldn't afford to just retire. She looked at her watch again.
90 minutes.
Mr. Martin looked askance, but before he could say anything, she made up her mind and pulled out her tablet. It was time to act.
Mr. Martin, look at the screen, please.
Her voice had become silky and soothing, her words irresistible. Good. Now tell me what you see.
Why, I don't... He tried to resist, but failed. I see clouds. Beautiful clouds.
They are very, very beautiful, Mr. Martin. So beautiful. They are like a dream. Are you dreaming, Mr. Martin?
Yes,
he sleepily replied.
This has all been a dream, Mr. Martin. But what I tell you next is real. Your neighbor's ATV's throttle jammed open while she was trying to repair it. The machine crashed through your fence and caused your tool shed to burn down, then exited your yard through the opposite fence. The neighbor has apologized and is paying for the damage. You like your neighbor, so you've agreed to accept her offer and won't say anything. You're very tired now and will go upstairs, go to bed, and when you wake up tomorrow, you will feel great and forget this dream.
That done, Itsumi went back to her cruiser and took out the old containment kit she had secretly kept from her days as a first responder. She gasped for air as she lugged the heavy case up the sidewalk. 5 kids in zombie costumes pushed rudely past her.
Trick or treat!
They yelled at the front door.
The trick is, I'll take all your candy if you don't leave, now!
Itsumi had quietly moved up behind the noisy kids. They jumped at the unexpected booming voice, then scattered across the lawn into the night. A parent's voice called from the street.
That wasn't nice.
We're out of candy. Get lost.
Itsumi's patience was well past its due date. By the time she had hauled the heavy case to the backyard and set up the containment device, which was just a high-powered one-shot infrared chemical laser, she was out of breath and sweating profusely.
I'm tired of doing this.
She growled as she took aim and fired, leaving only a scorch mark where the worm and tool shed had been. All in total silence. She liked the old way of doing things. Quick, quiet, and effective. By the time she had packed up and got back into her cruiser, exhausted, only 24 minutes had passed, and that included hypnotizing the neighbor into paying for damages. She should get an accommodation for saving on the cleanup costs, Itsumi told herself, but knew that wouldn't happen. She hadn't followed procedure.
90 minutes. Really?
After paperwork, she'd be home by 7:45 and even have time to check her lotto ticket at the corner store. Sure, there would be hell to pay tomorrow. The gelato would sue for loss of property. She'd get a reprimand for keeping the old chemical laser, but who cared? Itsumi started up the fake police cruiser and drove off. 25 minutes later, she floated out of the convenience store in a daze. $2 million, she had won the lotto. She could retire. But it occurred to her that she couldn't recall anyone else who had left ASU. Surely there had to be a few from the first years, but none came to mind. Distracted, she didn't notice the shadowy figure standing by the smelly dumpster, watching her.
Hello, Agent Gatu.
The deep voice floated out from the shadows.
Looks like you've had a great end to your day.
Itsumi squinted, making out what she thought at first was a short figure in a Halloween costume. As it moved out from the shadows, shock made Itsumi's lungs constrict. She struggled for air. The creature facing her was made from living rock, vaguely shaped like a human, looking more improbable than the comic book hero, The Thing. Noting the pain in Itsumi's expression, the gelato spoke.
You should take your meds and follow your doctor's recommendations. I suspect you've overdone things a bit tonight.
Itsumi dug an inhaler out of her bag, quickly putting it to her mouth and spraying. She felt the drug open her air passages and waited until she could talk.
Why are you here?
she snapped, looking up and down the street to ensure that no one had seen the extraterrestrial. The last thing she needed was an impromptu cleanup.
Get back into the shadows before someone sees you,
she commanded.
You're in violation of the agreement. You can't just appear without arranging it with the ASU HQ, and there's nothing on today's schedule other than the last-minute worm test. And why didn't you inform us about the new budding feature?
Itsumi motioned for the gelato to follow her into an alley, away from the street lamps, then whirled on the extraterrestrial.
Leave, or I'll call it in.
The gelato did something with its face she interpreted as a smile.
Do you think your lotto winnings was just chance, Agent Gatu? It's ASU's payoff for the damages you caused to our property tonight, which you will of course sign over to us. Now, according to the fine print in the new addendum to the agreement, Section 12Y, destruction of property, we are also entitled to the perpetrator of the damage. We can cure that nasty cough of yours, but there is a price. Think of this offer as a kind of post-retirement job guarantee. A commitment of no more than 70 hours a week. You can refuse, of course, but then, well, let's not go there yet.
The gelatin did that thing with its face again.
Trick or treat, it's your call.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 128, Trick or Treat. We hope that you've enjoyed this month's episode. As always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us, or write a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Radio, or check us out on Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. We release a new story every month between the 15th and the 20th. To listen to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, please download Stitcher Radio from iTunes or the Google Play Store. This month's episode was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. The opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David H. And don't forget to listen to Series, which is posted around the beginning of the month. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you're free to share our stories, just remember to credit us, and don't alter anything.